So I called and I got a hold of him. And one of the first things that Jose says was, "Hey, Rebbe, before we talk about anything else, you know, remember that thing we discovered out there on the ranch?" And I said, "Yeah." "Did you ever tell your family about it?" "Yeah." "How did they receive it?" "Not well." You know, he says, "How about you?" "Same thing."
Same thing.
They would believe. Yeah.
Was this something, Remy and Jose, that you two kept basically, after you told your families, pretty quiet during your entire lifetime?
We had to. We took an oath.
Now, what do you mean you took an oath?
Well, when we discovered this, we were looking for a cow. Jose's dad had sent us out to find a cow that was ready to calf. His dad had gotten had purchased some cattle, a bull and a cow,
mm-hmm.
Brought it in from Spain, because white-faced cattle are from Spain. And so they seemed to do real well there, and others were starting, you know, herds also. But in this case, he was. And so this was during wartime, and things were rationed. You know, you
sure.
couldn't get very much of anything. It was tough. It was rough life. So he asked us to put a special emphasis on, well, we went out and checked the fences, and we mended them and fed them and all that. He says, whenever one's ready to calf, I'll let you know so you can make sure that it comes home and make sure nobody gets it and brands it. Because in New Mexico, it's range law. You know, if it's your brand, it's yours.
Sure. So you two are out there.
Working.
Yeah, as kids.
Yeah.
You're 7 years old. You're 9 years old at the time. And do you see something in the sky, or do you hear an explosion? What happens?
Maybe Jose could
give it to Jose.
Yes, if I may. We first started settle the horses. It was about 10 o'clock in the morning. It was the 16th of August, 1945.
Mm-hmm.
We head up for the hills on my father's ranch, and a storm. Terrible storm hit us out there, you know, rain. So we ducked down on some boulders that were there nearby. And all of a sudden, you know, we heard a big sonic boom on the following ravine, which is Walnut Canyon. And after a while, you know, we went up the ravine, came out on the other side. There was smoke coming out. We started getting closer, and I told Remy, "Hey, that must be another atomic bomb test, you know, because it was July 16th when they tested the first atomic bomb there, 10 miles from mm-hmm. my father's ranch." And we kept on getting closer, and we seen this big, huge object, you know, just almost buried one side, kitty corner up on the ground.
What did it look like to you when you came upon it?
Like a round plate, aluminum plate.
Now, how big? And I know you're 9 years old at the time. Things look even bigger when you're little.
Well,
but how big do you think it was?
Pretty big. We'd say might have been about 35 feet diameter on an oval shape.
Mm-hmm.
And about 15 feet high.
And you came close enough to it to get a piece off it, didn't you?
We did.
Yeah, but you didn't get the piece right away. What you did was look at it. You were 200 yards from it. You didn't get the piece until they started the recovery, right?
It was the last day before they towed it away. It's when we went back in there, and I got in there and took the piece out.
Okay, so when you were looking at this object, were you two the only ones there at the time, or was the military showing up?
No, there was nobody else. It had just happened.
How close did you get to it at that point?
Probably about 200 yards.
Okay. What kept you from wanting to get really close to it, Jose?
Remy.
Remy? Were you afraid, Remy?
Well, you know, it first off, it wasn't under the best of circumstances. You're looking at hills and, you know, where you're at, and it's awful hot. Temperatures run there probably 110 degrees. We just had some rain, so it was miserable. You got the rain and the humidity. In addition to that, you have fire. You have brush that are burning and smoke. And add all that, and it adds up to misery. It wasn't very easy to get there. The soles, you could feel the heat of the rocks on the soles of our shoes. It was miserable. And there's dust all over. Brush is burning. Some of the greasewood, they call it creosote nowadays, mm-hmm. but that was burning. And, you know, and your eyes are burning. It's miserable as such. And as we retreated several times to go up on the ridge and get some air because we couldn't breathe. So that was one of the, you know, one of the things. The other thing is, I felt uncomfortable. I didn't know what it was. I mean, you know, I'm from San Antonio, New Mexico. You know, population at that time, 50, 60 people, you know?
Yeah.
Not much. You know, I had never seen anything like that. In fact, I'm not even in the first grade because of the age. You have to have attained the age of 6 in order to have to be able to enroll in school. And so I had to wait, you know, because I was born on October, so of 1938. So I wasn't yet, I was going to be enrolling that fall.
Why don't we get to the creatures? Also, you were scared. You said you were scared.
Well, when did the creatures pop up?
Well, the creatures were there when you looked at the craft through the binoculars. You know, if we hadn't had the binoculars, I think it'd have been much better. You know, but when you look through the binoculars, and then it brings this craft in closer. And Jose would be looking through there and describing them to me, you know, and that was pretty good. And then he handed me the binoculars, and I watched them, and then it really got weird.
Were the creatures in the craft or outside of the craft?
Inside the craft.
So you could see them through either windows or portals?
No, a hole. What happened is this craft had a hole on the side.
Because it crashed?
No, because it hit something.
Okay, but this hole was created because of the crash, right?
Yeah, because of the crash, yeah.
Okay. So you see a piece of it, it has fallen off, and then you see creatures inside. What do they look like?
They, well, like a campamocha.
What is that?
You know, I mean, that's my vocabulary at that time, right?
I speak Spanish, but not that well.
it had the head that resembled a praying mantis.
Okay.
The head did. Yeah.
So they have that kind of look to it.
Yeah.
But yeah. They had a long, spindly body, you said, right?
They were thin, you know.
They were thin
bodies. They weren't fat.
Remy, did they look like they were in distress? You know, if you're in a crash, you know, you're all...
They're
you
all
know.
Excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were moving. I could see them move. And as you know, as I'm watching these things, and I'm being overcome by some emotional stuff that I had experienced at a funeral, you know, when you bury one of your loved ones, you know, and you experience that type of emotion.
Some of them look dead?
No. No, I didn't see anyone look dead. They were moving back and forth.
How many?
There was 3 that I saw. Like, you know, whether there was anybody else lying down, I don't know.
Paula, they seem to be 3-man crews, huh?
Well, that's what they saw. Jose, what did you feel when you saw it?
There were 3 little men rushing back and forth. We've seen it through that hole. They were rushing back and forth. Like, to me, it seemed like they were injured.